Welcome to A Toxic Talk Tuesday on Chris Fabry Live, going through the highways and byways and beckoning those who would like to live toxic-free. Tell them about our get-together right here today. We will be joined live by my toxic life coach, Mrs. Toxin Free America 2012. The pageant was last weekend, if you did not see it. She was voted by her graduating class at the University of Virginia as most likely to start a revolution of the large intestine. Andrea Fabry is her name. Today we start 2012 with a Toxic Talk Tuesday geared to food. But there's going to be no guilt today. Our goal is to help you live a healthier life and make small incremental changes rather than wholesale lock, stock, and barrel change. There is a quiz coming. Get out a pen and paper. We will take this together, and we will talk with a woman who wants to help you and me take a step forward toward a more healthy lifestyle. Who knows? It may be one giant leap for your gallbladder. Here's how you get involved. 877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. The website is chrisfabrylive.org, where we have all the links and resources. Trisha McMillan's our producer. Eric Hufford's our engineer. Elizabeth Asaturo's answering your calls, our official program observer from Wheaton Academy, Wheaton, Illinois, Caleb Cockrum. And that brings up our special guest here today, joining us direct via satellite from the Cactus Compound and Detox Center near Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, go ahead, Eric. It's Andrea Fabry, founder and president of Moms Aware, helping people make the connection between toxicity and health and encouraging them on their challenging and often overwhelming journey. Formerly Andrea Kessel, she is former news reporter, journalist, former co-host of Midday Connection, mother of nine, co-host of Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, graduate, as I mentioned, of the University of Virginia, and avid sports fan. She joins us today with her Broncos jersey, number 15. Andrea, the national championship game was last night in college football. Do you know one of the two teams that played?
I have to say I've been studying very hard for today's program, so please give me some lax on this. Huh. I believe Louisiana was somewhere in that
LSU
combination.
Yeah, absolutely. LSU Louisiana was undefeated, and they played Alabama, and
Alabama
won.
Hmm.
So we have a national champion.
Good. I'm glad to know that. Thank you.
Well, congratulations, too, on your Mrs.
pageant. I hadn't heard about that pageant. I'm so honored. I didn't have to do anything to win that.
No, you did. You've just been you. All right. So today we're going to talk about food. Now, in the past, we talked about, you know, toxicity in the kitchen and in your bathroom and the healthcare
room.
Products.
Yes, personal care products.
Personal care. Yeah.
This is tough. Mm-hmm. Can I just say that I would love for all of us together to take a deep breath. I know it's not Friday, but it could be a good idea.
Would you say that this is the hardest?
This is hard, and I think it's because it's so vital to our spiritual life, our physical life, our relationships, what we eat, and what we don't realize about what we're eating so often. Mm-hmm. Radically affects our quality of life and our, like I said, relationships with others. You know, I was just having a reading, a prayer before I came in, and it's kind of a book that is a devotional, and this is the
we
one I came across.
We talked with Kurt Bjorklund. This is the book I said on the air that Andrea stole it from.
I did steal it. I have loved it.
Okay.
And today's was, Lord, help me now to unclutter my life, to organize myself in the direction of simplicity. Lord, teach me to welcome change instead of fearing it.
Mm.
And so I have no intent of creating any fear when we address this subject.
No.
However, it's
there is no fear with you, Andrea.
No. But I think sometimes we act out of fear. And I did this once because I went on a health food kick in 1990-something, I remember, and my family suffered terribly.
You know what?
I
remember the Fido Bears. Is that when the Fido
that
Bears?
I was all over it, but I had no idea why. I was simply afraid. Yeah. And so I don't think fear is a good motivator. If you are currently in the drive-through line of a fast food restaurant, go ahead on through.
You mean without getting what you've ordered?
No, please don't change anything. If you listen to this hour and that's all you do, that is a major accomplishment, because when we hear some of the things that are going on in our food supply, it's the truth And it sometimes is startling. But we don't have to be afraid, because God has given us food and access to food no matter where we live. You don't have to live on a farm, thankfully. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of hope. And the other thing is exactly what Chris said, slow change. It's always best to slowly change anything, but especially when it comes to food. We have a new puppy and we switched him over to something healthier. The vet said, be sure to take 3 weeks to do this. Don't do it right away, even though we were going to something healthier. So gradual change is good when it comes to this subject.
Tell us the truth. You like our puppy. You like our new...
I love Tebow.
And
I do.
And I'm not... I don't think you disliked our other dogs.
No.
But you didn't seem to have the same connection.
I don't know. But you know, I was involved in picking out Tebow.
That's true.
I went right to him. I loved him from the start. The others, Chris had picked out, which I respectfully...
Yeah, there's the problem.
I think Pippin
right
was the cheapest one, and that was back then. That's how he made his decisions in that litter.
No, it was not. There was something. There was a connection. There was a soul connection between Pippin and me.
And you know that we have a puppy with a football star's name. I wear that proudly.
Yes. So how do we begin? Are we going
to
start?
I'd like to begin
with the
quiz, because again, the goal of this quiz is not that you know the answers, because if anyone takes this quiz and gets all 15 right, I would love to hear from you. Now, we're not going to do all 15 now. It is on our website, Moms Aware, so you can take it there. The goal is not to get this right.
Okay.
The goal is just to be asking questions, and this is a way to help us ask questions. Because that quote about the fool is one who stops asking questions.
Yes.
I'm not saying we're foolish. I'm just saying that we're not asking.
We're just eating.
We're just eating. Yeah. So again, our goal for this hour is simply to raise our awareness and to ask questions.
So it doesn't matter whether I get any of them right.
No, I am preparing you.
Is that just showing up?
Kindly
you're saying, show
say,
up for the game.
Please don't worry. Yes.
Okay. So we're going to show up for the game. It's the first time you've ever heard of Toxic Talk Tuesday. You can tell there's just an energy in the room. So let's.
Can I do the first? Do I have time?
Let's do the first question.
Okay. The symbol pictured above, which I know our listeners don't have this symbol. However, it's a circle. It looks like a flower in the middle. It's called the Radura or Radura. It's commonly found on food packaging.
Radura.
The Radura signifies A, organic, B, genetically modified organism, GMO, C, irradiated food, or D, additive free. The Radura.
The Radura, I'll say D, additive free.
That's okay. Like I said,
I showed up.
You showed up. Good for you. Most people might say GMO. Some might say organic. It's irradiated food.
Irradiated food. What does that mean?
And the clue was radiated.
Yeah, Radura.
And Radura.
Okay.
And then dura means lasting. And the goal of irradiating our food is to extend the shelf life. So it goes through these radiation fields. We have a right to know this. Now, we don't have know that if restaurants are using irradiated food.
But it looks like such a innocuous, innocent little thing, and it's saying that your food has been exposed to radiation to get it to last longer.
Correct.
Okay.
So we're not making a judgment on that. We're simply asking the question, do I want radiation to go onto my food? And now I'm going to know to look for it. What's interesting about the central dot is the radiation source. The two circle segments, the leaves, are the biological shield to protect the workers and the environment. That's a little unnerving to me, that those who are irradiating foods must be protected.
Yes, and because we're going to be eating.
The outer ring is the transport system, and the lower half of it is shielded from radiation by the biological shield and resembles also the loading area. So this is describing this Radura symbol. Now, everyone will want to see it and just go online, R-A-D-U-R-A, and look it up and see
Radura.
That this symbol must be on foods that are irradiated. But if you buy something in bulk or you go to a restaurant, you're not going to know.
And do you care to tell me what irradiated foods
yes,
there are?
Yes, they're using,
macaroni
everything.
And cheese?
almonds can be, coffee, cheese, anything that has to be transported for long periods of time.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, that's Andrea Fabry. This is a Toxic Talk Tuesday. You have tuned in on an energy-filled day here. We have five more questions to go in the quiz, and we're going to do those in just a moment.
Call Chris Fabry Live now at 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675.
This is a Toxic Talk Tuesday on Chris Fabry Live. The wonderful Andrea Fabry of Moms Aware is joining us today, and she is my toxic life coach. We've talked about making your own laundry detergent, dishwashing liquid, eyeliner. Hey, we talked about so many things, shampoos. Today, we're going to get down to, in 2012, the food we eat. And she has five more questions here in the quiz, and these will all kind of lead us to asking questions about what we consume. And your illustrious host here is someone who has consumed a lot of different types of foods over the years, and I eat differently now because of our guest. I can't say that about any other guest.
I can't say enough about my trainee. Can I just say, if Chris can change his way of eating...
Anybody
this
can.
Is, well, I hate to go to say that, but I think it's true.
Because Little Debbie, really, seriously, I thought Little Debbie was a distant cousin. She was in the house so much.
We were dating, and he would go by because the fast food burgers were
that.
10 for a dollar.
No, don't
and,
tell
I don't know,
that.
Maybe $5 that he had. I
no.
don't know.
They would have these burger wars where they'd be like a quarter each, and I'd get at least a dollar's worth.
At least. So
I mean, you can't. How can you?
This
pass?
Man has come
yes.
so far on
come
his
along.
Own. Going back to yesterday's program, simply for him.
Right? Is that not? I'm not trying to please you, but I will tell you this: when I had a little ground beef thing today, and do you know what I forgot? And I went back and got.
The ferment.
I got the ferment and got the sauerkraut and put it on the top. And some people are saying, what? All right. Go ahead. Question
number
two.
We'll come back to that. Number two on our quiz, which, by the way, Chris is 0 for 1 so far.
But just show up.
The chemicals commonly used to fluoridate drinking water come from?
Okay.
So we're talking about fluoridating our water, which, by the way,
radiation?
Doesn't clean the water. It's not in there for any kind of cleaning purpose. It's there for medical reasons for the teeth. All right, four possibilities. A, corn refinery wastes. B, fertilizer industry wastes. C, pharmaceutical company wastes. D, petroleum company wastes.
Oh, boy. So it's got to be petroleum, corn, pharmaceutical, or...
Fertilizer.
I'll say, because the worst is fertilizer, I'll say fertilizer.
Very good.
See, I got you. I know how you come up with this now.
And store that information. That
so, wait a
is
minute.
Very interesting.
Fertilizer waste is how they make put the fluoride
yes,
in.
Yes, those sodium silica fluoride and sodium fluoride. And it's
okay. So
store that.
I'm one out of two.
That's very good.
Batting 500.
Number three. The following oil is classified by the Environmental Protection Agency as a biochemical insecticide, acknowledging that this substance, quote, has low chronic toxicities. A, canola oil. B, peanut oil. C, safflower oil. D, cottonseed oil.
Okay, and I'm going to go on personal experience on this one because she's always saying, don't buy those nuts over there because they have cottonseed oil
safflower.
Safflower oil. Well, it was like sunflower. I'm going to say cottonseed.
It's canola.
Canola.
But it really doesn't matter when it comes to these oils. Let me just say very quickly, our vegetables are not meant to become oils to consume. And here's why. They're so good in the plant because they survive a winter and then they're activated by heat and they work wonders. When you extract an oil from a vegetable, you're exposing it to what?
Radiation.
The air. The air and sun.
Yeah,
and,
the air.
Okay, so the heat is going to make it become rancid very quickly. And so it takes a chemical process to extract these oils and make them look like we can eat them. And that's a whole nother fascinating subject, but I'll move on.
Okay, here we go. Question number four, I'm 1 out of 3.
The United States is the largest producer of corn in the world. Mm-hmm. According to the EPA, 80% of all corn grown in the United States is used for...
Here comes the corn.
A, food for animals. B, processed foods. C, ethanol. D, high fructose corn syrup.
80% is used of all corn made is used for by I'll say the high fructose. Wait, let me pull that back. Let me pull that back and say the second one. What was B?
Processed foods.
Processed foods.
Good. Well, I'm glad I gave you a chance because you're wrong on both counts. I think this one was the most surprising for me, that most of our corn is used as food for animals. And let's remember that cows were never meant to eat corn. They've had to.
How do you know that?
I asked them. They're herbivores.
That's right. You're a journalist. You've gone out in the
you
field.
You need to find your answers to your questions. They're meant to be raised on grass and pasture.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt. So that 80% of our corn is used for food for animals. Whatever the animal eats now, we're eating. We need to understand that.
Of course it is. So, but there's most corn growers who are listening to us right now saying, hey, there's no problem with that because the grain makes them, you know, have
nourishes
more meat.
Them. Well, there's a lot of, you have to understand the cow's digestive system, and we have industrialized the whole animal system here. Mm-hmm. They're not being raised. They're raised on feedlots for the most part. And so they're standing in their manure.
They don't eat grass.
There's a lot of disease. It's not how God made them.
Yeah.
And I think because it's profitable to do this and to process 400 cows an hour is profitable business. This is the way we found to do it.
And that's every burger that you eat pretty much.
Yes. And that's why grass fed becomes so kind of like a treasure hunt. Think of it that way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look for meat that was raised the way it's supposed to be because grass is good for me too. It's the way it's creation, essentially. Mm-hmm. The carpet and the energy source being the sun and cows eating that. And you know, but I can understand. I mean, we're not here to discuss vegetarianism versus meat eating.
Because that's you're not a vegetarian.
I was at one point, and that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, but you're not anymore.
I don't know that I would eat any processed meat.
You look at a grass-fed cow, and I tell you, it's I've got to pull off the road.
I'm thinking of having my own bumper sticker that says, my kids are grass-fed.
Okay. Which is, you grow your own, what is it?
Wheatgrass.
Wheatgrass.
They are.
I've told the story here before about growing up on a farm, and the fence around the cornfield was always the most important because if the cows got out, man, they got in there, they couldn't stop. Because you say that they're not made to eat corn. They sure loved it, but they couldn't stop and they would eat until they died, literally.
I wonder if that's a picture of us. I mean, see, that corn is... That
might be more of a picture of me.
High fructose corn syrup is in a lot of our food. And this is so important. I think we're so hard on ourselves. What's wrong with me? I cannot give these foods up. Understand that there's a chemical thing going on in your body that makes you... It almost fools you into thinking you need more. And so that is very interesting what you just said.
Mm. Well, I haven't gotten many right, but I said something interesting. Okay, next
question.
Number five.
Gelatin is produced by partial hydrolysis of collagen extracted from the boiled, crushed bones, connective tissues, organs, and some intestines of animals. Huh. Gelatin is commonly found in this product. I'll take out the brand names. A, potato chips. B, vanilla wafers. C, Pop-Tarts. D, macaroni and cheese.
Gelatin is found in Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yes. And what made you choose that? It's very
I don't
good.
Know. I can't. It's just a gut-level
so
feeling
proud.
I had. I'd like to thank my mother.
Let's go to number six and see. What are you, two for?
Two for five.
Okay.
So this guy, I could get 50% right
okay.
here.
Okay. Genetic modification research is underway using pigs and the following biological preparation, which is inserted into the DNA of corn.
Yellow.
A, insulin. B, ibuprofen. C, antihistamine. D, flu vaccine.
I'm going to have to ask the judges to read that one more time. You're talking about pigs.
Genetic modification, which is modifying the DNA of anything, mostly in plants.
Of the animal or of the food?
Of the food.
Of the food. Okay, the genetic modification of the
food. We're not that far from genetic. We are doing research with animals, but we're talking about genetic modification in plants
here. In plants. To give to a pig.
You would use pigs.
Yes.
And But you would be, inserting this particular preparation into the DNA of corn.
Of corn. Okay, for the pig to eat. And it's insulin and what are the other?
Ibuprofen. Antihistamine. Flu vaccine. Very good clarifying
flu
on that.
Okay, I'm going to say flu vaccine.
I wish we could go do the other eight or nine.
You don't know how much I wish we could do that, Andy.
So the idea is, this was begun or announced in 2009, so the idea is that you could have a tortilla chip and have your flu vaccine.
Wow. Okay.
But so, genetic modification
so your point
is
of all of this is, again, not fear, because you said you didn't want to scare us, but I'm getting scared here, especially for the pigs.
Just to ask the question. I've never thought about this. This is coming from my journey. I didn't ask anything about this. I always had a problem with boxed foods, and you've known that for 29 years. I didn't eat a lot of that, but I didn't have an understanding of why I had that, and I couldn't fight the battles with my kids.
Yes.
And of course, you were strongly enjoyed all that kind of food. So our cupboards were full of all of the processed foods, and I didn't know how to cook at all.
That's not true.
Oh, yes, it is.
That's not true, Andrea.
I had to cook from scratch was the most overwhelming, underappealing thought to me.
Yeah.
I relied heavily on fast food, and so I... 3 years ago, we left our home, and today I published a list of everything that was in our pantry.
Yeesh.
And you can get to that from the Moms Aware site to see, you know, this is where I come from with absolutely no interest in asking questions.
You had no idea 3 years ago that we would need that list. And the way that we got that list is another program and another story. We did not, you know, catalog that ourselves.
No.
But we're not going to go into
that. I want to use it for good. And I to see that and to give people hope that I'm the least likely candidate to make these changes.
So a lot of macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
a lot of chips.
Yes,
a lot of fast food.
We had a lot of fast food.
Yeah.
And then we did a video in our kitchen now, and you can kind of see the difference. But it's been 3 years,
yes.
And it was not overnight.
Okay. So the benefits then of asking all these questions
is to give us some perspective, and then we can make better decisions about us and about our kids, because we are in reality living in a very short time of our history where we've even used these types. This is very fast developing. And if you pull back and you see the big picture on this, for 1900 some years, we didn't have chemicals in our food. We raised them through through God's creation, the grass, the animals, the manure, the humus that nourishes the nitrogen, and all of that is how we raised our food. There was a limit, however, and understandably, we would like to control some of the issues that we can't control, like drought and, events, hurricanes, and then that would wipe out a whole. So farming is very difficult. It always has been, but that's the way we did it. Well, in 1920, Fritz Haber was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in chemistry.
Do you know why, folks? Do you know why Fritz Haber got the Nobel Prize in 1920? You're going to find out, and you'll be able to ask a question. What kind of changes might you make today? What little footstep will you take that might be a giant leap for your health? 877-LIVE-675 is our number. This is a Toxic Talk Tuesday with my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry. You can find out more about her at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. We have a link there. Not only to her website, Moms Aware, but also there is a link to her blog, a link to the quiz, the food awareness quiz, and there's even a video of her in the kitchen. This could be anybody's kitchen, but it just happens to be the one that she works full time from. And you can find out more there at chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. We will go to your calls momentarily. We have to find out, though, about Fritz Haber and why he won this Nobel Prize in 1920.
He invented the process to fix nitrogen to create fertilizers and explosives, both. So until this point in time in history, and this is less than 100 years ago, we relied on the sun. And at that point, then we opened the door to introduce fossil fuel into helping us feed the world. Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, it helped, you know.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. So understandably, it was a big, very, very big invention. It's changed the course of history.
Yes.
He was from Germany, and he used his chemistry knowledge to invent chemical weapons as well in World War I and then World War II. And what's so interesting about his biography is his wife was a chemist, and she killed herself with some of these chemicals because she couldn't live with where this was headed. And one of his children did, and then another one of his children in 1946 did. It's just very tragic. And here he was, this Nobel Peace Prize winner, and died alone in a hotel room in 1934 because he was kind of ousted. But there was something else. He converted to Christianity. That's the other part that's really interesting from Judaism. So that's his life. But what's so interesting to me is at this very same time period, born 5 years after him, Fritz Haber was born in 1868. Born 5 years later was Sir Albert Howard. And I'm guessing that most of us haven't heard of either one of these men.
No, I haven't.
So if we think of Fritz Haber as the father of chemical warfare, which he's known as, Sir Albert Howard is the father of organic farming. So while Fritz Haber was developing and inventing this, Albert Howard was commissioned by England in India to study farming. And he believed strongly that you don't just study disease, you look at the whole life system. And what he found was that the soil is designed to have humus. There's a whole ecosystem that is so essential to life. And he was very much against the introduction of chemical fertilizers. And so he argued in the House of Commons, don't go this direction, he said, and here's why. But what I love about him, and I love about reading him, and his books were published in 1940 and 1947, and it feels like it's being written today. It is fascinating to see his perspective. And you see, I as a Christian, see God's creation all over what he's saying. And having lived through a health crisis, I really understand, too, how critical it is, because he felt if the soil is healthy, people will be healthy. But here's what he said about the introduction of synthetic fertilizer. Artificial manures lead inevitably to artificial nutrition, artificial food, artificial animals, and finally to artificial men and women. And then he said, history will condemn chemical fertilizer as one of the greatest misfortunes to have befallen agriculture and mankind. That is contrary to what we know. I mean, obviously, we didn't go that direction. We were able to do a lot with those fertilizers. In fact, our ammunition plants in this country were bought by companies to use for pesticide.
After the war.
Yes.
It was over. Yeah.
And so that's going back to the fluoridation question. What are the wastes that we're putting into our water supply there from?
The fertilizer
industry.
Yeah, waste. Yeah.
Waste. And so, again, this is not gloom and doom, and isn't this terrible? This is just important to see. This is fact.
This isn't
making any judgment. This is seeing, in a very short amount of time, we have put these products into our food.
So that you've talked about this before, and I've seen it on videos, and when you go to a fast food place and you order whatever it is that you have ordered, you are having, you know, a cheeseburger or a hamburger, hot dog, whatever. But really, the main ingredient in all of that is corn.
Corn and soy. Those are the two big ingredients in pretty much. And there's an excellent book called The Omnivore's Dilemma, which I've learned a lot from Michael Pollan. But he basically calculated how much corn is in your meal, because one of the things about going on any kind of specialty diet is that you're restricting. And his point was, when you don't have the processed foods is what I mean. While you're being restrictive, and his point is 100% of the milkshake is high fructose corn syrup. 65% of the salad dressing is high fructose corn syrup. Most of the chicken McNugget is high fructose corn syrup. Well, I may have I know it's 65 in the salad, but a chunk of what you're having is not only high fructose corn syrup, but these other corn products that we don't know how to read yet, the labels, to understand that these are versions of corn.
Yes. And one of your contentions then is that this is why people have a really hard time maintaining a weight level with, because there are chemical reactions that vary from person to person that are going on inside the body when you assimilate the food, and you're reacting to that. And that doesn't take away the,
choice,
the sin of overeating or gluttony, but it does make sense that when I was drinking an awful lot of soda, there I had withdrawal when I tried to stop.
Yeah. Right. And again, we are so hard on ourselves, but understand that when you're given a real food, a whole food diet, the chemistry in your body is very different. And you find yourself, and when you understand the role of healthy, good fat, pure fat, what that does to slow down absorption and get the nutrients in and so forth, you will find that you're not as hungry all the time. But when you have high sugar foods about an hour later, because the insulin has just, and we found this out having a type 1 diabetic in the family. He's been our greatest learning or way of learning. He's been our professor, really, is watching him has taught me so much about all of us. And we always say what's true for Colin is true for us, because he has become so much more stable since we took out the high sugar foods. Did he fight that at first? Yes. Did we all? Yes. Did we all resent it? Absolutely. I did my best to teach and explain to the kids what happens chemically in the body. And then let's try this for 30 days is what we did. Let's just try this and see what happens. And
so then, what are you suggesting that our listeners can do? What's the takeaway from this Toxic Talk Tuesday? And then we'll go to phones.
To again, open your mind. And I think of it this way. Think outside the box, cook outside the box, eat outside the box. You can't do that overnight. Thinking outside the box is a very good thing. You don't have to be afraid to do that, because it gets very confusing. Well, then if I can't have this, it's not that you can't, you can. And some people can get by with a variety. It's all depends on you and where your margin of health is. We had no margin left, so we had to do something quite radical. So I just encourage our listeners, if some of you have been thinking about this a long time, and in fact, it's January and I'm already on this road, so this only helps me. Yeah. Others are, I feel like I should be doing something, but I just can't. And I say, don't tell yourself you can't. Just let yourself think about it and open your mind to learning how the body works, because you'll be blaming yourself a lot less, because chemical chaos in the body leads to a lot of inflammation, a lot of symptoms that we just don't, we don't even know what to do and how to counter them. But
then you go back to medicine to try to counteract the chemical things that are
going
on.
Which is what they're doing with the animals, just more shots, more medicines in order to keep all those diseases out of our meats. Makes sense in that sense. I mean, you kind of are feeding the process the same way with the pesticides.
But it's too expensive. I can't do it. I can't afford to eat the way you're saying, because I can't afford to pay the farmers who do the grass-fed, because they can't mass-produce all of the cattle. And so it's $5, $6, $7 for ground beef.
It's true. And, we still sleep on air mattresses and we don't have any furniture, and yet we have grass-fed beef. And I'm not saying, oh, look at us by that. I'm not. It's just that we do make our choices about what we need.
We have a couch and a love seat.
And we eat out. And I was with someone at a co-op pickup last year, and she said, well, I just did my taxes. This was March. I just did my taxes. I cannot believe how much money we spent on health care this year. We spent a fraction of what we spent the year before, and she had just started this a year ago. So we think in economic terms here, there's the short run and the long run. In the short run, is it going to be a crunch? Yes. In the long run, it might be profitable if you're thinking of money.
John in Noblesville, Indiana. Join the conversation. Go right ahead.
Hi, John.
How are you all today? Hello.
Doing great. Thank you.
This topic is really near and dear to me, because 2 years ago, roughly 2 years, I just was very lethargic and all the time. And anyway, to make a long story short, one thing led to another. I did a lot of research and went to a strict vegan diet. And there has been open open revolt in my household ever since.
Did you make everybody else do that, or you just
no.
did?
No, I yeah. made the decision just for me.
So you want to know, when Andrea said she went from vegetarian to meat, why in the world would you do that, right?
Well, not so much why in the world, but what did that look like? Because I know my wife would really like it if I started to add some things back to make, you know, cooking at home a whole lot easier.
Good.
Oh, that's such a great question.
It's a relational question, too.
How much my energy levels went up, and of course, all the health benefits.
So you're saying there is a connection then between what you ate and now how you feel, which is exactly what you were talking about earlier, Andrea.
And this is the common thread for every diet you'll see out there. I mean, there are varying degrees of vegan, vegetarianism, paleo. It's so overwhelming and terrifying. But what you have to understand is they all have one thing in common. And that is, I haven't seen one yet say, eat as many processed foods as you can. They're all abstaining from that. And when you take away processed foods, you have cut out a very, very big chunk of the American diet. And you are swimming upstream. I get that. For vegan, for me, I think you have to have a lot of knowledge. Although, when you first start vegan with juicing and all that, you're essentially fasting for a period of time. And the body has a great opportunity to clean and detoxify. I mean, it can be a very good move. I'm not commenting. I'm not saying yes or no to this.
But for your opinion.
For my opinion, you have to really know what you're doing. You have to know your body, and you have to understand protein and all that and the anti-nutrients in.
And you have found the meat products have
helped me tremendously. But I was a hard sell on this.
Yeah.
I would not have introduced any type of meat if it were. I'm just being honest, if it were conventional. I learned a lot about the nutrition of, you know, grass-fed animals and pastured chickens and so on and so forth. And I felt comfortable introducing.
And soy. You have to say it. I mean, I'm sorry. And there are a lot of people listening who are on farms, dairy farms, who, you know, or who grow corn, and you're not here to put them out of business.
No, not at all. In fact, there are only 1% of the population is involved in farming now. It used to be 50% 100 years ago.
Here's what Debbie said. I bombed the test. I realized we need to make changes, but I can't afford just to throw out everything in the pantry. What would you suggest is a good place to start? You'll hear the answer to that from Andrea Fabry on this edition of Toxic Talk Tuesday as we continue here on Moody Radio.
Join the conversation. Call Chris Fabry Live now at 877-LIVE-675, 877-548-3675.
A conversation with Toxic Talk Tuesday, Andrea Fabry, continues now. I gave a question. I threw it out here. I don't know if we've dealt with totally the vegan question.
I think so. I applaud anyone for trying. You just listen to your body and what, you know, you make sure you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Debbie said, I bombed the test.
Wait a minute. We didn't ask. He said, how would you integrate and what would you need to know? Let's just go back to that real quick, because he was so willing to say, boy, my wife would love it to be able to fix the meal. I would go with something that is grass-fed and close to the bone, because the bone is so nourishing. Even if someone who has a vegan lifestyle would introduce some bone broth, Take the animal bones, the marrow, and all that good stuff, and boil it for 4 hours and add some vegetables to that. Very nourishing and probably a little bit easier to take. In fact, that's an idea for anyone listening. It's like, I don't know where to start. That's a good place to start. I just encourage anyone who would be introducing meat to choose it carefully. You don't need a lot of meat. That's the other thing. We're kind of over-meated. Mm-hmm. We don't need as much when it's very nutrient dense, closer to the bone. And the fat, the animal fat, is so good for our brain. 60% of our brain is fat. And that's a whole nother deal with the myelin and all that. But it is so beneficial. We require it, but it has to be healthy fat.
My pantry is full, and I want to do something healthy, but I can't throw it out. I just can't afford to do that.
I understand.
Where's the place to start?
Small. And I would go at it positively rather than negatively. I need to throw all this out. It'll be gone soon enough. So I'd go ahead and use it. Because again, you're talking about changing a lifestyle. You're not really, I'm going to change for a month and then go back. It's, I imagine if you want to make some changes, you're hoping that this will carry on for a lifetime. You may not be able to envision that, but that's the better choice than I'm just going to quickly do this and I don't know how long it'll last. Better to start small. So I would go ahead and finish that up. I would look into lacto-fermented foods and just look, explore this idea. Because truly lacto-fermented foods are, it's an incredible tradition. It's common to healthy cultures today, even. I mean, think of all of these indigenous native societies. They depend on some of this for transport and preservation through the wind. Lacto-fermented is taking a vegetable and truly fermenting it with salt and cultures and turning it into something very probiotic. And we all have heard that term. And the reason that term has come up is because we take antibiotics, which obviously are life-saving. But if we have too many, then we tip the scale in our intestines. And so probiotic foods are great. What great thing to add after you've had a course of antibiotic. They're great. They're great anytime. So for someone who really wants to make change, I would look into that, to lacto-fermented, making sauerkraut, kefir. I call it kefir. It's technically kefir or kefir. Yogurt, making your own yogurt. Some of these probiotics, where you're just breathing life into these foods, you're just making them pre-digested so the body doesn't have to work hard, and it's repopulating that gut flora, which goes back to the soil. What Howard was saying, the fungus and a whole ecosystem in the soil is what it thrives on. It's the same with us.
So in the big picture, then, what you're really saying is many of the maladies that we have today, that we experience, the health problems that we experience, are modern in nature. And are you saying then that all of the pigs with the, you know, fertilizer in them, all of this stuff is making us sicker?
I agree with Albert Howard that synthetic fertilizers are just not. They're not good for our health.
But there's
overall.
A farmer listening who says, you don't understand.
I know.
I can't grow a
anything.
Crop without fertilizer.
But if you look back on history, that has been, is it, forgive me, guana? Okay, the bird dung that was available overseas in the 1800s. Am I right about that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I wish
yeah.
I had my
Keep
notes. Okay. Well, there was a mad rush to get that, and there were all sorts of laws enacted because everybody wanted that in order to grow better soil. So there's no part of me that's disagreeing that fertilizing the soil is critical.
Yes.
And because we live in this modern age, we have relied on chemicals. That's all we know. And I'm not saying the farmers only know that. I understand it's a catch-22. What do? I want to grow these crops. Well, you know, there's ways to wash it off. I mean, there are probably ways to kind of balance it out. But if our mindset is it doesn't matter, if I get a super weed, I'm just going to add more chemicals, and we keep going this direction without thinking about it, that's my caution.
All right. And Michelle in Colorado wanted to ask, is there anything easy or cheaper than buying this grass-fed thing? It's just too expensive. What do you say to that?
Oh, I thought we were coming up on a break.
We're coming up on the end of the program, my dear.
You're kidding.
You should see the look on her face. You should see the
look.
How did
that happen?
It just flies by.
I don't have it. It's hard. All I can say is it's really hard as a mother. This has been a very long road for me, and I don't at all want to sound like this is easy or you make quick decisions, but at least you're thinking about it, and I want to give you a lot of credit for that.
All right, go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, and you can take the quiz. We already had somebody say, I bombed the test. Hey, I got 3 out of 6. I'm happy with batting 500 there. You can take the test. You can also see the video, the toxic-free kitchen, absolutely free at that website. So you'll find all those links there. Andrea Fabry, thanks for joining us.
You
come back
me.
Again. Maybe it'll be a Valentine's, a relational toxicity.
That'll be fun.
fun.
Steve Hewitt's with us tomorrow here on Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio in Chicago.